cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until that day I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. See, his body was going to be broken. His blood was going to be shed as an atonement. And there was going to be a new covenant, completely different from anything else that's ever been available. A new covenant, new in type, unprecedented, that was going to be available for the remission of sins for those who would believe in him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you for an opportunity to gather and to remember what Jesus did. So, Lord, help us as we seek to understand the meaning behind the sacrifice of the cross. We pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship.
Feel free to stand and join us in worship.
And the life I had because of your Son. the name of Jesus. You are high and lifted up, and all the world will praise your great name. Your great name.
And then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he said, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. And then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners."
You see, it was not possible for sinful man to be reconciled to God unless we had a sacrifice, a Savior, one to make atonement for us. We owe a debt that we couldn't pay on our own. You know, as I think about what Jesus prayed that night, he was praying to the Father as he was communing with him, but he said, "Not my will, but your will be done." And I think that we need to ask ourselves if we can pray that same prayer, asking for God's will to be done in our lives. Let's worship.
Came running, and it was mercy in your eyes.
"Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him." Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, "Friend, why have you come?" Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And suddenly one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest, and cut off his ear. But Jesus said to him, "Put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father, he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus?" In that hour, Jesus said to the multitudes, "Have you come out as against a robber, with swords and clubs to take me? I sat daily with you, teaching in the temple, and you did not seize me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples forsook him and fled.
This was not just happenstance. It happened this way because God had already predicted what was going to happen. And they were being reminded here by Jesus, both the disciples and the mob, that they were literally fulfilling scripture as they did what they were doing. They were doing it exactly as God had said it would be. Jesus was not immune to betrayal. You know, if you walk through the door today, you've probably been betrayed before. Somebody's hurt your heart, your confidence. Jesus felt that same thing. This night was the deepest of betrayals. One who turned him over. And he did it with a kiss, intimacy, the friendship. Nothing would stop Jesus from his goal, though. Nothing. Let's worship.
To the cross where your love poured out. So then, Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. Then they said, "Hail the King of the Jews!" And they struck him with their hands. Pilate then went out again and said to them, "Behold, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." Now Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said to them, "Behold, the man." Therefore the chief priests and the officers saw him. They cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "You take him and crucify him, for I have found no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." But they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then he delivered him to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side, and Jesus in the center. Now Pilate wrote a title and put it on it, the cross, and the writing was, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews."
It is noteworthy that Pilate said that he found no fault in him, and that the Jews understood that he had proclaimed himself to be the Son of God. That was his claim. It's not something to be made lightly. As they crucified Jesus, they put the title Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, and it was written in three languages. It was written in Hebrew and Greek and in Latin. You know, Hebrew was the language of religion. Greek was the language of business and everyday life, and Latin was the language of law. See, no matter where you came from, no matter what your background was, the cross had a message for you. And still has a message for each one of us today. The unimaginable pain, the public spectacle Jesus suffered on that cross. Let's worship.
Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength.
Now when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of those who stood by, when they heard that, said, look, he's calling for Elijah. Then someone ran and filled a sponge full of sour wine and put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink, saying, let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to take him down. And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and breathed his last. Then the velvet temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. So when the centurion who stood opposite him saw that he cried out like this and breathed his last, he said, truly this man was the Son of God.
That's all it took for the centurion, the guy who was supervising the crucifixion. He had seen it get dark for several hours, and then at the moment that Jesus died, there was an earthquake. The rocks were split. Matthew 27:51 tells us this, and the veil of the temple was torn from the top to the bottom as God opened the way for all to come to him. That 3 hours of darkness, in that moment when Jesus died, as he said, and it says here that he cried out with a loud voice. John tells us what he said. He said, it is finished. Literally, it's paid in full. He paid the debt. Jesus paid it all. See, the Bible teaches us that there was a reason that he was there. Isaiah 53, some 770 years before Jesus would be on this cross, said he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. You see, he goes on to say in Isaiah, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You see, inside each one of us, if we're honest with ourselves, we have to admit that we carry around. We've sinned. We've done wrong. We carry around a guilt of sin too before we come to Jesus. Everywhere we go, there's always this thing that's there and it's not shaken. But when we come to Jesus and we recognize what he did on the cross by our sins being placed upon him, he paid the price for them. And if we will come to him, we can be forgiven of those sins and also have our conscience cleansed of those, the burden of that sin. See, Jesus died for our sins. And by faith and belief in him, we can receive that and have a life that is changed. We can be born again. See, he didn't stay on the cross. And we're going to learn about it on Sunday. On the third day, he rose. He resurrected. He came alive. Maybe tonight there's some here who are carrying burdens. Maybe it's the burden of things that are not your finest work. Maybe it's things that, if you were honest with it, they're sin. They're things that you've done that you're just ashamed of, and you bear that guilt. Maybe you know God, but you're running from him. Or maybe you've yet to begin that relationship. See, the Bible teaches that if we will turn from that sin and self and turn to him, and look to him there on the cross and what he did for us, that our sins will be blotted out and times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. I'd like to read to you from one more piece of scripture in Romans chapter 10, as Paul there spoke about how a person can be saved. And he said this, he says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Notice it doesn't say you might be saved or we can vote you in. It's because of the belief, that trust in who Jesus is, the one and only Son of God, that he died and he arose on the third day. By that belief and faith in him, we can be saved. He says, for the heart, with the heart one believes into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. He goes on just a few verses after that. He says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's when we call out to him, we invoke his name, we put our faith and our trust in him. It's then at that moment that we truly are born again, when we give our heart to him. See, for the centurion, it was the earthquake. It was the three hours of darkness. It was seeing Jesus die, and then the earthquake happened, and he was convinced at that moment. I have to ask you tonight, have you come to that point yet where you're convinced, whether you've put your faith in Jesus? See, deep inside, when we hear the message of the gospel, we always sense the tug at our heart to come to Jesus. The question is have you done that? Have you put your faith in him? And if you haven't, why not tonight? Why not be forgiven of your sins and receive that forgiveness that you can have? I'd invite everybody to bow your heads and close your eyes with me if you don't mind. And Father, I just want to pray for each person here as we celebrate what Jesus did on the cross, our Savior, the one who was ransomed for our sin, the one whom you sent for this purpose. And Father, I pray that if there is someone here tonight that does not know you as Lord and Savior, that even right now, you would give them the strength, Lord, to believe upon you, to receive the forgiveness that you want them to have. Lord, I also pray if there's someone here that knows you, but they've been running from you, that even right now, Lord, that you would use this time to draw them back to your side. As I pause my prayer, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus yet as your Savior, but you know that you need the forgiveness of your sins and you want to believe in him, I invite you right now, right where you're at. He waits to hear your voice. I don't need to hear it. But if that's you, call out to him right now. Call out and just tell him, Lord, you know, I've been running from you and I know that you died for my sins. And I know that by believing in you, you can change me, you can forgive me. I know you're the Son of God, and I know you arose on the third day. Please save me right now. Father, I pray if there's someone here tonight that prayed that prayer, somebody listening online, that even right now, that you would just confirm in their heart the value of what they just prayed to you, and that this was a real thing. Father, I pray for the believer that's here that's been running from you, Lord, but they know they need to turn around to you. I pray, Lord, that even now that you would give them a strength to call out to you and just reconcile that relationship with you, Father, to be forgiven. We thank you, Lord, for what Jesus did, and we thank you, Lord, for the elements of communion that we'll partake of here in just a moment. And we pray, Lord, that you would begin preparing our hearts that we might be right before you, Lord, before we partake of communion, as we remember the body that was broken and the blood that was spilt as an atonement for our sins. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're here tonight and you did pray and put your faith in Jesus, before you leave, please come see me. I'd love to visit with you. Don't leave without talking with me. I want to rejoice with you. So we're going to be partaking of communion. And it represents Jesus' body that was broken and his blood that was shed as an atonement. And if you're a believer, I would like to invite you to take a stand on your faith by coming forward. Because when you come forward, this is for believers only. You're telling the world around you that you believe in Jesus by partaking in communion. So once your heart is ready, if you're a believer, you're welcome. I recommend everybody come up this way and go down that way so we don't have a traffic jam in the middle. Family rules, If you touch it, you take it. It's yours. All right, let's worship. You're welcome to partake of communion when your heart is ready. Amen.
Wonder-working revelry, Jesus Christ the Nazarene. He knew well what it would take to free us all from sin and grave. A perfect man friend betrayed him with the king. There before the mocking crowd, like a lamb to slaughter, didn't make a sound. He carried that cross to Calvary, and he shed his blood. Yeah.
Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you for all of the good gifts that you have given us and for dying for us, the price that you paid because you counted us worthy of your love. Thank you for all you have given us. Please help us, God, to seek you and to find your love and to chase you, Lord. Please be with us, God, and show us who you are, God, as we go forward. Thank you for your sacrifice. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We want to extend an invitation to join us on Sunday morning to rejoice in He is risen. Bring friends, bring two. And we are dismissed, but we'll be going over to the fellowship hall for some nibbles and sips.
Thank you, everyone.
Get everyone?